You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Live from New York, it's a show that
I can't believe it.
Has a cast on like a child.
Oh, like, what do you want from
me? Saying.
What do you want from me?
I'm going to sign it after.
So am I.
Greg Jennings wouldn't let us sign his. You guys.
His was cool.
You guys can definitely sign mine. His was cool.
Yeah.
Why? What? It was the exact same
thing. If you're like this,
thing.
It's cool.
His. He was more incapacitated. I'm out here fighting, buddy.
Okay. It's first things first. Today, Caleb headed to Chicago. Basically official now. Why one person here thinks the Bears are headed to the playoffs.
What?
Meanwhile, Kyrie, left-handed hook shot to win the game.
Oh.
Brew, I'm going to ask for an early take. One of the best game winners of the decade?
Yes. Regular season game? Yes.
Century?
Yes. Only way you can say...
Ever?
Well, century, I can't. Only way you can say something was better is just because of the stakes.
Correct.
Right?
But I agree with that.
How you going to get better than that?
I right. know.
Yeah.
Okay. And finally...
Awesome.
Look, we all know his body betrayed him.
Oh, my God.
It did. He's had two full seasons.
You want to tell me?
Where's he going?
But what did Sean McVay see in Jimmy G?
Sean McVay?
To prove that Brew is once again absolutely right.
Sean McVay?
I mean, this is unbelievable.
This is Sean McVay.
Yeah.
He knows quarterback.
You know, better than almost anyone.
Right.
Who was his last backup quarterback they just added? It was Carson Wentz,
Baker?
Right? No, it was Carson Wentz, actually. Bro.
Well, wait till you see Carson Wentz in Minnesota this year.
They got rid of Kirk Cousins. They're like, oh, you got the McVay special.
Alongside Chris Broussard. Okay.
Yeah, we've been too long there. It's
sorry.
Too much time making fun of me.
We start with the newest Man of Steel. Nick Wright is going to have an iron plate.
Okay.
Justin Fields now in Pittsburgh, but it doesn't look like there's going to be a quarterback competition. I guess so, sure. Which frankly seems strange. Russ tweeting that the quarterback room is about to be fire. That's good. So we'll start with you, Nick. Should Russ be the week one starter?
If it were up to me, no, but I'm certain he will be. And I think quarterback competitions are slightly overstated by the media because of the lack of time. Because if you have two new guys and you're going to need to get at least one of them up to speed.
I buy that.
They are going to need so much more time in your offseason with the ones. You know what I mean? With the starters getting the reps. So I think a quarterback competition with an incumbent and someone brought in to compete with them is different than this situation where both guys are totally new. And if you give both guys, you know, 45% of the first team reps with the other third quarterback getting 10% of them, neither's going to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think it will be Russell Wilson week one, but as confident as I am that it's Russell week one, I believe it would be Justin week 18 and the weeks leading up to it. I do not think Russell Wilson will keep this job, but I think he will start with this job on a very short leash. And because I am much more pessimistic about Russ's ability in any offense, much less the Steelers' offense right now with their lack of overall skill position talent, I don't think he'll keep the job, but I think it will be his week one job.
Well, one, I think they do have skill position talent. You know, you got Freiermuth at tight end. You got Pickens. I know they got rid of Deontay Johnson, but you got Pickens. You got two good running backs. So I think they got pretty good talent. I agree with you. Russ will what I say is he should enter training camp as the number one on the depth chart. Now, if he gets beat out, and like you said, it's hard to have
it's
a real
hard to beat him out
because they also don't go as hard as they used to with tackling and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if he were to, he would have to like really just completely outshine Russ passing because we know running, he's going to be a better runner. But if he were to come out with accuracy, which he's had trouble with accuracy. I'm talking about Fields. Mm-hmm. But he would have to look so much better in the air than Russ. And Russ would have to look essentially washed for me to move him ahead of Justin. I mean, I didn't think Russ looked washed last year. And so I think if he's number one on the depth chart, if it's even or close, maybe Justin's a little better, you start with Russ. Because also, Nick, I think it's easier to move from Russ to Justin than Justin to Russ. If Russ were to not start, and if it was a close competition, he doesn't start in the regular season, I think he's upset. His mood could ruin the locker room. He would say the right thing, but it could work against the locker room. Whereas if he starts off, I agree, short leash, plays three or four games and looks bad through the first four games, then he's benched. The locker room's not like, oh, well, we got this guy who's won a Super Bowl. He's a veteran. They saw, oh, he wasn't good. So I think that would be a smoother transition. So, look, we'll see what Russ does. But I do think he'll start. And if he can hold it, he can hold it. If not, go to Justin.
So I go ahead, Wilds.
No, you go.
Do we agree that Justin Fields should be at the place in his career where he's still improving?
Yeah.
Theoretically, it should be. All right. Do we agree that Russ is in the place in his career where he's clearly declining?
Well, I think he improved from 2 years ago to last year.
Sure.
And I think he could – now, he's not going to get back to what he was in Seattle at his best, but he could improve on last year.
So and you and I obviously feel differently about where he was last year and how well or poorly he played. Point I'm making is this. Can we just show what these two players have been post-Justin's rookie season? So since Russ left Seattle and, you know, since Justin wasn't a rookie, Russ, yes, has more wins and a slightly higher completion percentage. They have both been sacked the same amount of times. Their yards per game is the same. Their touchdown to turnover ratio is essentially the same. And Justin is nearly a full decade younger.
Yeah.
So for those reasons, I think it is, and I mean, I don't know where you stand on this one, Brew. I think it is far more likely, because they're both going to be on expiring contracts. I know there was some question like, oh, the Steelers will have to make a decision on Justin Fields' fifth-year option. There is no chance they're picking up that option because they have to make that decision before the year starts,
really?
Brew. Yeah, they have to make that decision this offseason. They're not going to pick up a $20-plus million guaranteed thing for Justin Fields. There's no chance.
I'm not saying they will, but I could see them doing it because they're looking at him as their guy of the future. And what's the other route? Like, they're going to be, at the worst, they're going to be mediocre, right? No. So you're not going to get, like, a high draft pick.
So I think it is close to a 0% chance they pick up his fifth-year option. But despite that, I think there is far greater likelihood that Justin Fields is on the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2025 than there is Russell Wilson is on the Steelers in 2025.
You would hope so if you're a Steelers fan.
And so, right. And so I think Justin will ultimately be the starting quarterback and will finish the season as the starting quarterback. And how he plays in that stretch is what is going to determine if they bring him back next season, you know what I mean, to be their long-term starter.
I think they hope clearly that he plays well and he's their starter for the next several years.
Well, from what they're saying, they hope he does not play. They're making Russ the starter.
You could start Russ. Now, look, if Russ has a great year, they make the playoffs, make a nice run, sure. But if Russ, I think they want to see what Justin's made of out in practice as well, because it's good for him to sit at the feet of in a great organization, a great head coach, and a Super Bowl champion. Like, this could be good for him to learn. I mean, Jordan Love, I know he started Justin, and he would be going to the bench. But still, it was good for Jordan Love, and we saw great improvement from him from early in his career to coming in finally as a starter. So why couldn't you see that with Fields?
Okay. Steelers offense since Big Ben retired. I tried to find, like, the inflection point. Like, this is where they're at, almost bottom of the league in absolutely everything. They've had several different plans here, which including you sign Trubisky, you drafted Pickett, you start Trubisky, you start Pickett. Okay, Pickett gets hurt, you bring back Trubisky, you bring in Rudolph. Rudolph's now gone. He loses the playoff game. Russ is here. Russ calls Kenny Pickett on Friday. We ran the clip of Russ saying, yeah, talk to Kenny Pickett. We were like, yep, let's get it. Let's be great. later on that day when the show would, like, Kenny Pickett's gone right. and Justin Fields is in. It just feels like a lot of tumult in Pittsburgh. And as you talk about Justin Fields, excuse me, if you talk about Jordan Love, the fact that I feel like it's a little bit of a Packers story, that they went from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love seamlessly.
Well, right, after doing the same thing Favre to Rodgers. But yeah. that's
and this is just so messy, and we still don't know what's going to happen.
But you don't have a good quarterback. No,
and it's also what life is like after your longtime franchise quarterback steps away. This is why I felt like Belichick was getting unfairly maligned the last few years. What has the Patriots' plan been post-Brady? It would look a lot
it's
like
very
that.
Similar. Let's Sign, get Cam.
Sam,
Let's get,
draft
somebody.
Mac. Get rid of this guy. What has the Saints' plan looked like post-Drew Brees?
Even weirder.
A lot of the same thing. Even a worse quarterback than those guys, obviously. What does the Falcons' plan look like post-Matt Ryan? Yeah, a lot of weirdness. If you are a good enough organization to not bottom out when your franchise quarterback goes away, you're kind of screwed.
That's a good tip.
You know what I mean? Like,
or
the
you do what the Packers did. You draft somebody,
draft early,
but may upset your starter.
Correct. And also be fortunate with the Rodgers case that he's available in the 20s, with the Jordan Love case. And with Jordan, I love how Jordan played at the end of last year and in the playoff game as well. He is still something of an unknown quantity. You know what I mean? As far as
he's got to do it another year.
Right, how people felt about him the first. Mm-hmm. The Colts were amazing with Peyton Manning. Then he misses 1 year. They're so bad they get Andrew Luck.
Yep.
If that team was good enough to have gone 8-8 the year Peyton was hurt, they could, you know what I mean? They could have entered this same treadmill of mediocrity where you can't replace the guy.
It's weird.
Wouldn't you say, though, that, I mean, they went from having no legitimate starting quarterback.
Now it's an interesting
spot. Possibly two starting
quarterbacks. I don't think that's a good thing.
Why not?
What do you mean?
I think it's strange to have two quarterbacks.
I think it's like Russ. They don't know if the second one can play, Justin Fields.
They don't know if either can play. They don't know if either can play.
If Russ, let's say they had Russ last year and doing exactly what he did, 26 touchdowns, 8 picks,
yeah,
top 6.
They would have had the exact same season.
No, they would have won a play. 10-7. They may have won more than 10 games.
See, so I don't.
They had the worst quarterback play in the league by a mile, and still won.
Right, and I understand that. And the Broncos, and again, we disagree about Russ's play last year. My point is, the Steelers last year, with Russell Wilson at quarterback or the rotating cast of characters they had, their ceiling was going to be getting bounced in round one. And that's what it was. Like, if they had a great quarterback, it would be different. But Russ or Pickett, Mason, Trubisky, any of those guys, their ceiling was going to be bouncing around.
Okay. Check in on the Bears side of things. We reportedly turned down a better offer for Fields. Courtney Corn, writing on ESPN, the Bears had an additional offer with stronger draft capital from a team with an established starter, per a source, but chose to send Fields to Pittsburgh with the hopes of putting the 25-year-old in a position to continue his development, first as a backup to Wilson, and eventually as a starter. Your reaction, bro?
Well, what was better? Fifth round? Sixth round that's not conditional where it could get better? Like, straight six-round pick? I mean, if it was that close, then I think they did the right thing, because you send a message to players, or at least you theoretically do, that, hey, we care about the players and their future. Because there's already the feeling that you did not do right by Justin Fields, because you didn't put players around him that could help him win. And he had two head coaches, two offensive coordinators, so you may not have given him a chance in some people's eyes. So now you do this. Hey, we're looking out for him. If it significantly was better, which I doubt, but let's say somebody's offering a third round pick,
then
you got to do it.
Correct.
You got to do it. You got to do what's best for your team, regardless.
So I agree with that. So this is the scenario I painted to you before the show, Wilds. Because what they got was a sixth in a year, you know, not this year's draft, next year's draft, that could be a four.
Right.
If he plays more than half the games. Let's say Buffalo called, because we know Buffalo wanted a backup quarterback because they signed Mitch Trubisky inexplicably to more than the league minimum. But set that aside. Mm-hmm. Say Buffalo called and said, we'll give you our fifth round pick this year for Justin Fields. I don't think it's bad business for Chicago to say, yeah, we're not doing it. The gap between the value on those is not enough, given the fact he is clearly very popular in the locker room. And I understand it's business, not personal. When people talk about the Bears doing Justin Fields wrong, Sometimes that stuff bothers me. In this specific case, and I thought Danny, when he was on Friday, made a good point. When you look at the blow-by-blow of it, year one, Justin, you're not going to play Andy Dalton. Is Andy Dalton gets dinged, he's all of a sudden starting week three. Year two, we want to be the worst team in the league. We're going to trade Roquan Smith. We're going to take all our dead cap right now, which I thought was the long-term smart thing for the team. Brutal for the player, right? And then year three, all of a sudden, it's like, okay, we're kind of ready to be good, but we're also changing the offense on the fly. Those things, I understand why they would be like, you know what? He handled himself, aside from one press conference, right? His teammates like him. Yep. Let's not send him somewhere where he has no chance of being the starter unless, you know, like to Brew's point, the return is so good, we have to put business ahead of it. Right. And so this part makes sense to me in a way that I know there had been some reporting like, oh, they had a two or a three offered to them. If they did, they turned that down back when they thought they were still going to be able to get that. Not because they didn't have that.
That wasn't available now.
Exactly right. That offer was gone when they took this one and not presented like, well, they could have taken a three this week and instead they took this. That I do not believe at all. Okay.
Meanwhile, Caleb to the Bears, basically done. Now minus 4,000 to be in Chicago. Other new faces in the Windy City, Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift. Nick, does Caleb make the Bears a dark horse playoff team?
No question, yes. But let me first say this real quick. You know, I'm not a professional investment broker, and I don't give investment advice. But minus 4,000 would mean you get 2.5% return on your money in 6 weeks. That's better than any stock you're going to get, America, if you can put that. Because it is a 100% chance he is drafted by the Chicago Bears, number one. And so minus 4,000, you bet 4,000, make 100 bucks. Can't do that guaranteed in the market. But now to the point. The Bears are better than people think, and they were last year. And they have since added things. So the Bears, Eberflus would tell you his defense can't function unless it has at least one A-level pass rusher to then have everything rotate off the back end of it. So how did the Bears look once they added Montez Sweat, who is not, that's not adding prime Von Miller, but it's adding a good player.
Good.
All of a sudden, they were fine. It's not like they were great. They were fine. They outscored their opponents. They had top 10 points per game and opponents' yards per game defense. They have now added two DJ Moore, who with quarterbacking that evidently was only worth a sixth-round pick, did this last year. Keenan Allen, and Keenan did that in only 13 games. Now, I think Keenan is going to be less productive because of his age. But you then add the fact that in addition to Caleb Brew, they are going to, with the ninth pick of the draft, either be able to add Rome Odunze, Brock Bowers, with the second tackle off the board, or the first or second defensive player of any position off the board.
Very good.
And they added Swift. So I expect the 7-10 Bears, with better quarterbacking, more talent, not the dead cap that had been weighing down the last 2 years, to be a 10 or 11 win team.
Ooh.
So I expect them to make the playoffs.
All right, so you came on strong at the end saying they're going to make the playoffs, because this question, I think Nick hacked your computer.
Why?
And threw Dark Horse in there.
Oh, no.
Because
it's not
when, we talked about it on the phone call morning, it was, are they making the playoffs?
I would pick them to make the playoffs as of now.
So there you go. Because they're a dark horse.
I don't believe in dark horse nonsense.
In the hunt? Will they be in the
hunt? No, I'm not in the hunt.
Are they making the playoffs?
Yeah, they'll be in the hunt. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
I think Detroit and Green Bay are definitely making the playoffs. And that, so that's two in that division.
They're in.
So I think you like those teams too. If I remember Nick's tiers. I think both of them were pretty high.
Tiers. Yeah, the Bears, I think the Bears were on the, I mean, the Bears were quite high as well.
They were high.
So
the Bears,
if we're going to have three, I don't think you're saying three from that division, but I still think Dallas and Philly. I know I don't have like a strange team in here, but Atlanta I got. And then San Francisco and the Rams.
So you have the same playoffs as last year with Baker out and the Falcons in. That's not going to happen.
Well,
it's just not going to be the same.
We will see.
I mean, but that's it's just not.
You yelled at me when I didn't think Bijan Robinson would be rookie of the year.
Okay, all right.
So, I'm just saying.
And so I just think that if you, let me put it a different way, Brew.
Because
go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying. Finish. Which one's not making it? Detroit or Green Bay?
Well,
they could have three because the NFC's kind of weak. But
I think
those two are definitely.
I almost think you're looking at it from the wrong direction, which is, aside from the NFC South, which we think, you know what I mean,
there's
could have a division.
Right. But Atlanta and Tampa could.
No, let me ask it a different way. Let's just say Atlanta's in. If another NFC team that missed the playoffs last year is going to make it, which most years there's at least two new per conference, are the Bears not the best bet? The options would be Washington or the Giants, the Bears, and the fourth NFC North team. The Vikings.
The Vikings.
The Vikings, who don't have a quarterback right now. The NFC South, we said New Orleans, Carolina, Atlanta, and then Seattle or Arizona. Like, some people might say Seattle. They got a new head coach. If you think there's going to be a bounce back year from Kyler, I get it. My point is, I think the Bears are the best bet.
Dark horse is the right word.
No, they're okay.
Dark horses. Because I don't think Caleb's going to be C.J. Stroud. Now, I think Caleb will be good eventually. But I think this year he'll show promise. He'll make us say, yeah, that was the right pick. But I don't think he's coming in like CJ.
But CJ, I think you, even if you're right on that, CJ had to be CJ because that Texans team was earned the number two pick on their own volition.
Yeah.
That Texans team was awful the year before. They were a three-win team.
No, I get it, but you're saying because they were bad, he had to be so good.
No, I'm giving CJ credit. My point is, if the Bears were the typical number one pick team, we would expect, usually, about a three-win improvement if they draft the right quarterback. My point is, a three-win improvement for the Bears is 10 because they won seven games last year.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I'll buy that.
Thank you.
I might buy that.
So you, really?
I might buy it. It's a good argument.
Who'd you pick to win the NFC
last year? It's a good team. Oh, my gosh, Brew. Who'd you pick to win the NFC last year?
And they made the playoffs, the Eagles.
Short of the turnovers, we were heading in the right direction.
Also, Kirk Cousins' body betrayed him.
Yeah,
everyone knows
it.
I got
back
your back.
Now.
Much
Kyrie,
like mine, evidently.
Most skilled player ever, according to Dame Lillard. Next on FS1 on the Fox Sports Channel on SiriusXM. I think he was just giving a compliment.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to an exciting show. Kyrie hits a left-handed hook shot over our theme to win the game. Ends the night with 24 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists while playing 40 minutes. Dame later tweeting, Kyrie is the most skilled player ever. Well, hyperbole or straight up? You want to take this literally?
Bro? I think he means it literally because we've heard it before. Was it Chauncey Billups said it? Jay Williams has said it, former Duke player and NBA player. Kyrie is in the discussion for skill. I mean, we're talking about passing ability, shooting ability, ball handling ability. That's generally what you think
and
of
bag.
When you think of skill.
Right. And can I ask you a question on that? And do you think it is also graded on a curve related to how big
style
and – well, how big and naturally athletic you are? Meaning, like, you are almost –
Penalized.
It, like, I think the fact that Kyrie's not the biggest leaper and he's not tall, I think that adds to what people think of his skill quotient of it.
Well, this is what, and you guys may have heard me say this before, Kyrie is an icon. Like, he's going to be a legend. And his legend, I mean, his legend's going to be above his accomplishments.
Correct.
Now, you guys know I think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer and all that, but some people, I mean, I think a lot of people wouldn't put him, most people wouldn't have him as a top 10 point guard ever.
No.
And unless they, you know, win another ring or something like that, he probably doesn't get in there. But his legend, I think, is like Pistol Pete Maravich, who is, you know, viewed as a legend. And I think Kyrie's going to be that because he's the best ball handler ever. Some people think he's the best finisher. As far as skills, I think I would put Steph ahead of him. Because he's a better ball handler than Steph.
But I think Steph can be top 10.
Right.
Yeah.
Steph is definitely top 10, maybe top 5. Steph is obviously a better shooter. I think Steph's a better passer. Kyrie's never averaged even 7 assists a game. And you could Steph's averaged 8.5 assists and 7 assists some years. So I got Steph ahead of him. I would put Isaiah Thomas, the legend, ahead of him. And these guys are all with Kyrie in the same class. I got to throw Steve Nash, and Chris Paul in there, too.
Yeah.
Just skill. And so I think Kyrie's in that group. But I would probably put Steph and Isaiah ahead of him.
So that kind of speaks to my point that it is that skill is also synonymous for little. Because, like,
they're point guards who are going to dribble and pass better.
So the last time we had this conversation, I took it in an honest but negative direction, which is, okay, if this is true, then his career is a massive underachievement. Mm-hmm. You know, if he's the most skilled ever and has made zero first-team All-NBAs, one second-team, two third-teams.
A lot of that could be injuries.
Injuries and all of that. But that's not what I want to do today because I have to give Kyrie credit. Since the Mavs traded for him, and I said, I think understandably, okay, they're just, you know, keeping their fingers crossed. We get the best version of him. They've gotten the best version of him. There have been no incidents. You know what I mean? He has used his public platform only for good. You know what I mean? Not for division. And he had always used it for good in a lot of ways, but also had some stuff that he wanted back. And yesterday was the 19th straight game he's played, which is the longest consecutive game streak he has had since the Cavs won the title in 2016.
That tells you why he hasn't made more of those teams.
But it also speaks to the fact that this is the best version of Kyrie you can get. You're getting all the good, none of the bad. He's never going to be a 75-game-a-year guy. He was early in his career and hasn't been since then. Since he left the Cavs, he's played more than 60 games once. And this year, if he plays every game the rest of the year, he'll finish at 60. But he's playing really well. His teammates do seem to adore him. I understand the Mavs as a team are underachieving a bit, it feels. It's hard to put a lot of that at Kyrie's feet. Mm. I still think for the Mavs, was the trade smart? Is that how you build out a team? Those things I don't necessarily agree with. But the Mavs being a little disappointing, I'm not putting on Kyrie. And I just do want to add, because I remember being a little kid and being amazed by when this happened. I remember being a little kid and watching Hakeem Olajuwon in the NBA playoffs. And it was a day game. And they talked about how it was during Ramadan. Mm-hmm. And he had to just like put the water on his body and legs. Kyrie doing this while fasting is all, you know what I mean, all the more impressive and should be acknowledged.
Before we move on, Hobbs, can I just show... Or can you show the shot one more time? Because, Brew, the question for you is, the fact that this was a left-handed 20-foot hook shot, do you think that he has, like, he's like, oh, I'm going to go to this. And, yeah, Luka being stunned that he's never seen it.
Luka's reaction is maybe my favorite part.
Does anyone else have this in their game?
Well,
I don't know if we would.
First of all, I don't think that was Kyrie's plan. I think he planned on getting away from Jokic and throwing up a jumper, but Jokic stayed with him.
So he just put up.
Now, I don't know that I'd say that's in his bag. Like, he's going to, that's a regular shot.
It is.
But he's so skilled that he could put it up and made it. I don't expect to start seeing that shot every few games from Kyrie.
You should. Hook shot, underrated. Take a look at the odds to win the West. Denver, obviously, at number one. Look at Bruce Clippers.
Remember the advice I gave America about the Caleb Williams bet? The opposite advice on this one.
Thunder, Suns, Wolves, and then the Mavs at six, but they are ahead of the Lakers and the Warriors. So, Nick, you were once in love with the Mavs.
Well, they were your pick last year, right?
Last year, they were my pick.
Are they legit contenders?
Let me put it like this. Brew, you weren't here for Friday's title pie. Can we show Brew what he missed for Friday's title pie?
He didn't have a pie,
though. Mavs had a 2% slice.
Is that them next to the orange?
Yeah, next to the Knicks. They had a 2% slice. So in the West, they were behind the Clippers, Timberwolves, Thunder, Lakers, Suns, and obviously the Nuggets. I'm certainly ready to move them ahead of Phoenix. I'm certainly ready to move them ahead of the Clippers. I think I might be ready to move them ahead of the Timberwolves, and we'll discuss the Thunder and Lakers. I do think, because of Luka's devastating, in a positive way, playoff reputation, and Kyrie right now looking like, you keep your fingers crossed, he'll be healthy come the postseason, they're a team people do not want to see, and they've won 4 of 5, Brew, and the one they lost, Luka didn't play, and it was against the Thunder. So they're playing well, as opposed to a team like the Clippers or the Suns, who have another weird, like, head-scratching loss this week, and I know we'll get into. So it is the Nuggets and everybody else, but it is hard to make an argument, in my opinion, that there is any team in the West that has a drastically greater shot, other than Denver, obviously, more than the Mavs do right now?
I'll be more direct.
Thank you.
No.
Thank you.
All right. Oh. Now, contender, like, they won't win the West.
Well, then, can I?
But I'll say, spoiler to what you were, they could spoil, like, a team ahead of them, a higher seeds postseason.
Well, right, but hold on. Yeah.
They
could
spoil
the
somebody's
same thing?
Postseason.
Are there any contenders other than the Nuggets in the West?
I don't, yes, because I'm just saying, if you force me to, like, think of other teams, should
they could beat
something
the Thunder.
Happen to.
You're saying they could spoil the Thunder.
They could spoil the Thunder.
Right, but then are the Thunder contenders?
If Minnesota's healthy, yeah, do I put? Them. I don't know that I put them ahead of Minnesota.
But if this question
the
said,
Clippers,
is, are the Timberwolves
I think the Clippers are contenders. You,
so if this said, are the Clippers legit contenders,
yeah,
you would,
I would say yes.
Okay, I think the Mavs are better than the Clippers.
The thing that's going to haunt the Mavs is no defense.
Right? Hard.
And Kyrie and Luka can beat any team once.
Yeah, thank you.
Because they're so great offensively.
Yeah,
but seven-game series with that lack of defense, your two best players not putting forth that much effort on defense, I don't think – like I said, they're not a contender to win the West.
They are
spoiler.
That's good. Did you you like the style of play. Maybe I should just ask Brew.
Go, okay.
Brew, do you like the Mavs style of play? At the end of that game, Denver's moving the ball around, and then it's like, well, Luka stepped back and takes a miracle shot to win the game. Just the Mavs ball, heliocentric
style. Yeah, no,
I
don't think you can win that. We haven't seen anybody win that way. A better player, as great as Luka is, better players than him haven't won that way. And so I think, like, it's a lot of Luka's
Your
turn,
my
Kyrie's turn.
No, and by the way,
and that's not going to win.
I don't necessarily like that style of play. I think that Luka has been pulled into the James Harden, like, oh, Helios. But the difference is Harden, every year of his career, got markedly worse in the playoffs. And Luka, every year of his career, has gotten markedly better in the playoffs. And the other thing that I will say is last year was a disaster for the Mavs. There's no doubt about it. We'll see what this year is. The Mavs have never played beneath their seed. There's never been a year where it's like, oh, since they've had Luka. They were the huge underdogs against the Clippers in back-to-back years. Luka played great. One series won 7, the other one 6, I think. And then the other year, they upset the one seed en route to the conference finals. Like, there hasn't been a year where the Mavs, where it's like, oh, this style of play works in the regular season, but not in the postseason. Every year, they've played either two or past what their regular season
I think
season
they have more. Or they knew their identity more then, because now you got Kyrie, who's great, but everybody else was a role player around Luka and those teams. It was like, Luka, do your thing, and everybody else.
Last year, they didn't even lose a playoff game. So they
said last year.
Well, that
was
the year they did go below their ability, that's for sure.
Sure. I said that on the front end. Last year was a disaster.
I didn't hear you.
That was to protect them.
Finally, Denver. They lost their second game since the All-Star break. Oh, my goodness. Should it be time for me to, Brew, to reconsider my no one is beating Denver in a seven-game series?
No.
Thank you.
No. I mean, they destroyed the Mavs in their first two meetings. Jokic had like 30, 14, and 9 in the first game they played, which was a blowout. So it's not like yesterday he had 16 points. It's not like, oh, the Mavs have the answer. All right,
no,
he played poorly, and they still took a heroic shot by Kyrie to win that game. So you said it. They've lost two games since the All-Star break. They're fine. And
one of those games was in overtime to the Suns, and the other game was this one. Here's the question I have for you, Wiles.
Mm-hmm.
I think they want the one seed.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They're a half. Not talking the Celtics, just the one seed in the West.
They definitely do.
They definitely do. You've talked about how unbeatable they are at home.
Mm-hmm.
They are clearly, they have turned it on post break, you know, in order to try to get to that. If they want the one seed and they fall short of it, will that make you at the tiniest bit concerned? If there is like, hey, this is something we agree they want, they're going to shoot for, they're going to try to get. If they end up not being able to get it, will that at all then make you be like, oh, they might be a touch more vulnerable than I thought?
No.
Okay.
Not at all. Actually, might be good.
Oh, so if they get the one seed, it's good, and if they don't, it's good?
Yeah.
Okay, no matter what, it's good? Gotcha.
So he's all in.
Oh, no, he's all in.
I'm
on the
way all in. I mean, just watching the game, like, oh.
Never a doubt?
I got a tattoo. Well, we're back.
Stop saying.
Warriors-Lakers, LeBron had 40, Steph had 31. AD had left early with an eye injury, so the game went to the Warriors. Last 2 minutes of the game.
Disaster.
Took 20 minutes. Ben Affleck, nonplussed. Both teams 11 and a half back, Warriors ninth, Lake Show in 10th.
He looks very disappointed.
he often looks like that. Yeah. What was the number one storyline of this game, Nick?
I mean, this is mortifying for the league. Listen, it wasn't just the very end that 15 seconds took 19 minutes. There was so many. This is a wildly important game. Mm. Okay? Like, this could be what determines who's the 8, 9, 10 in the play-in. We've talked about the difference between being the 8 or the 9, and in the 9, 10 spot, who's at home. You had the Warriors have a possession that was 40 seconds long, and none of the refs realized, gosh darn it, man, this seems like a hell of a long shot clock situation. Like, right. Nobody was like, what is happening? They did something that I know is within the rules, but it's not because it happened to LeBron. People have heard me complain about this before. I hate the multiple plays later retroactively changing the score. Because LeBron hit a three, you play a certain way thinking you're down four, and then to well after the fact, after you've had an offensive and defensive possession, be like, actually, you're down seven.
But you got to get it right, don't you think?
At what point, Brew, let me ask you this.
Like, if somebody takes a two that we think is a three, and they get an extra point, I do think you have to take that point off the clock.
Okay, but you would agree with me in this regard. That if somebody takes a two and they call it a three, right? Or do it the other way. Someone takes a three, they call it a two.
Right.
The other team has the ball thinking they're up one.
It does
change. And then you wouldn't say, oh, we got to go fix it. Now the game's in overtime. Like, I don't like that. But then they couldn't figure out the shot clock thing. This is... So, right or wrong, Steph LeBron is still the biggest draw in the league. Mm-hmm. It gets the biggest numbers, all of it. So that, to me, was the biggest story. It feels like the NBA keeps stepping on a rake on about a lot of stuff. And then the very next day we heard, hey, national TV game, so excited, Giannis out. Like, there's just a lot of stuff that's frustrating right now.
Well, that's the biggest. Even this game, I mean, you can't blame AD, got hurt. But, you know, so many of these big national games, some star is out. And that's frustrating. But I'm going to go to basketball for these two, the biggest storyline. I think, look, with Steph. Now, I do think the Lakers with AD beat the Warriors in the play-in. The size is just too much. And yesterday, or in the game, Saturday night, you saw they just took advantage. Once AD was out, they just went
like
to the
50
hole.
Points.
Yeah, they wouldn't have done that with AD. But I'll tell you this, kind of like the Mavericks. Golden State is dangerous. Like, they're 13-4 in their last 17 games. With Steph, they're dangerous. You know, they can't win the West. But could they ruin somebody's post, like a Sacramento or OKC, a team that's ahead of him? I think you got to watch out for him. And the second thing, I got to say this. Klay, off the bench.
That's been good.
Great.
It's kind of brought him back. Look at his numbers. I know it's only 10 games, but still. Fewer minutes. More points, 20
and
a game.
More efficient.
And look at he's playing against second unit players. Oh. And when he's out there, it's kind of his show because a lot of times Steph's on the bench. So it's his thing and he can get in his rhythm. So, yeah, I mean, that's big for them.
I want to add one basketball piece as well because we're lucky enough to do the show with one of America's most notorious and well-known LeBron James critics and Kevin Wilds.
Not even top 100.
The audience figure it out. Brew, you agree with me, Brew. He takes his shots when he can.
Yeah,
how much do you guys put into what LeBron's looked like post All-Star break? So post All-Star break, he's missed one game, and his numbers are, we can show it to you. He was playing well before the All-Star break. Post All-Star break, he's played the fifth best player in the league thereabouts. And the Lakers, you know, oddly, despite that, are still, you know, just a few games above 500. But if that's the version of LeBron you get in the postseason, plus an extra 2 or 3 minutes per game, that's the Lakers' hope. The Lakers' hope is that he's going to, not 47%
AD,
from three,
yeah,
but with AD, that you're going to get that level of LeBron somehow in year 21.
It looks... honestly, like LeBron can just get to the hole at will. And with the floor spread out, it's easier for him. He's a great finisher, obviously, but it's even easier for him to finish because you don't have as many.
And some
in
of that is that he's been red hot from three, so people.
His 3-point shot, yeah.
Is that one of the best 3-point shooters in his career?
You got anything on it, Juan?
Yeah, you're the guy that's like, you know, what is it called?
What?
Regression to the mean. He's hot now.
Oh, there it is. I knew I'd get it.
Some more moves out of Dallas. Additions? Not really. Subtractions. Tyron Smith signing a one-year deal with the Jets. Here's the list.
Jets have done a good job with Daryl Line.
Brew's going to be right back on
the Jets. I'm just saying.
I can't wait. The Jets and Veep Rush.
What is this, like three offensive linemen they've signed?
Here's a list of people leaving the Cowboys. Leighton Vander Esch retiring today from injury. Brew, do you have a grade on the Cowboys' offseason so far?
Yeah, I do. And I'm glad you said so far, because this is like a midterm report. Remember, we were in school. Mm. You had midterm reports, because there's still more to be done.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll see. I mean, we know they're going to sign Dak and CD and Micah. So that'll be good for them. But now, you know, I would get midterm grades and I have to bring them home to my parents. If they're bad, I get a whooping.
Oh.
All right. So I'm just keeping it real. That's how I was back in the day.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Now, if I was the Cowboys' parent, my belt would be coming off.
Wow.
My belt would be coming off.
What?
I'm just saying, you showed all the guys
we
lost.
We understand. No, we just, it's just,
all right.
You're just
Tyron Smith's gone.
That's a new thing.
Tyler Biadasz gone.
Yeah.
And it's not even just that they're gone. They're, for Dorrance Armstrong and Biadasz, going to Washington. It's in your division.
Okay.
All right, so while you've done nothing, they signed Eric Kendricks. That's nice. He's a good player.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they lost Leighton Vander Esch. That's kind of – Vander Esch has hurt a lot.
Play anymore.
He's hurt, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think it's a – I think both of those players are pretty similar. Vander Esch is good when healthy. Okay. That's the problem with a lot of them. Tyron, he couldn't stay healthy either.
Yeah.
But while you've done nothing – Your division opponents have improved. Mm-hmm. I mentioned Washington, you scoff. I get it. They're not going to be that good.
Yeah.
But how about Philadelphia?
I don't know that they've
gotten
better.
I'm telling you, that little supernatural funk they were in is over at the end of the game. That's over.
That's done.
Nick thinks
based
that's
on what?
You think that's who they are now?
No,
they were walking in a fog. I don't know what in the world was going
on. But you also don't know why they'd be out of
it. Saquon Barkley, high character.
Okay. DeAndre Swift was a bad guy.
No, I'm not saying that. But Saquon, we know his high character. He's going to match well. Uh-huh. And they brought back C.J. Gardner-Johnson, which I like. That's what they need.
League worst secondary. He was on the team last year.
He led the league in interceptions 2 years ago when he was in Philadelphia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So here's my grade. You can improve it, Cowboys. But right now, belt comes off.
It's a D.
Okay.
So this is why, and I appreciate the performance of that.
That's just how it is.
So has this been a great offseason? No. But the Cowboys, by doing, because the Tyron Smith thing, the context needs to be, you know how I knew they knew this was coming? Because 2 years ago, they used their first round pick on the left tackle, Tyler Smith. So it's not like they ever expected that he was going to be there past this year, which is why I know it was reported 1 year, $20 million. It's 1 year, $6.5 million with $13 million of incentives. And so they knew because of his injuries. He's a Hall of Fame caliber player, but of his injuries. So by doing next to nothing, though, they had a far better offseason than most of the teams in their position, which was not good enough to be the Super Bowl, but a playoff team. Did they have a better offseason than Buffalo? No question, yes. The Buffalo lost their old secondary, Leonard Floyd, your guy Gabe Davis, Mitch Morris, and all they did was add Curtis Samuel. Did they have a better secondary than Miami, who lost Christian Wilkins, who lost the multiple defenders, who didn't have the money? Did they have a better offseason than the Rams, who had the best player on their team retire? Did they have a better offseason than Baltimore, who lost Patrick Queen, who lost Geno Stone,
who added Derrick Henry?
I
don't think they've had a better offseason.
Okay, so I think Baltimore lost more than they added. I think, and I know all
defense
of a sudden,
is good.
All
Baltimore,
of a sudden,
no
Dorrance Armstrong and Tyler Biadasz are hot names on this show. When we talked about the Cowboys,
Dorrance has 7.5 sacks.
Right, and I'm gonna ask you a question, an honest question. With all the time we talked about the Cowboys you think the name Tyler Biadasz or Dorrance Armstrong was uttered
in the league
by you
other than Jason
on
Kelsey
this show
was
once.
Ever uttered by anybody?
We'll check.
I would argue they did not have a worse offseason than Philly, which has addressed none of their needs.
See,
Drew was just fancifully saying they're fixed. fixed.
Saquon Barkley's not going to help them.
Saquon
Barkley, hold on, who was one of the best running backs in the league, when everybody in the stadium knows he's getting the ball, yeah. and they're waiting for
him. Does he play
safety?
Now
he's going to have – they're going – Vic Fangio, all right, C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Yep.
They're going to be –
C.J. Gardner-Johnson was on the Lions last year, and the Lions even stunk. I understand he was hurt.
It wasn't just him. Right, he didn't play last year for the Lions much.
I'm looking for brand deals as well. Live from New York, it's a show that's looking for brand deals, if you know what I mean.
Here we are.
Are you really?
Yeah, big time. That's the second hour of First Things First. Today, I know we thought Brew was the last believer in Jimmy G. Well – how about Brew and Sean McVay?
Okay.
Pretty good company, if you ask me.
I don't even need to say anything.
That's right.
I hope you don't.
Sean McVay.
Meanwhile.
On my side.
Uh-oh. I know we thought Brew was the last believer in the Clippers. Even Ty Lue saying, hey, I don't know what's going on. Maybe it's me. Is Brew worried already? But right now, Justin Fields, newest quarterback on the move from the 2021 draft class, which had five quarterbacks going in the first 15 picks. Only the Prince is still starting, and let's just be honest, there's rumblings. We're going to look at the outlook for each guy on this board, and we're going to start with Justin Fields. His passing yards and wins got better every year. Had four rushing touchdowns and, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, not bad. So, Nick, we'll start with you. Do you still have faith in the Steelers' new quarterback?
Faith is too strong of a word, because I don't know that I ever had faith in Justin Fields. Faith, to me, Brew is probably more of an expert on this than I am, but something you truly believe in. Do I still believe on his board of potential outcomes is, a franchise quarterback? I think it's on the board. And I think that he has had just enough stretches or moments of A-level play that he's hard to give up on. So I just pulled the best 2 or 3-game stretches from each of his non-rookie seasons. So weeks 8 through 10 in 2022, he had 11 touchdowns, a 109 rating, almost 275 yards per game. They were scoring 30 points a game. Last year, before he got hurt, 350 yards a game, back-to-back 4-touchdown games,
who were those
a 130 rating. One was against Denver, and one was, I think, against Miami, but I might have – Miami was in one of those stretches. I'm not sure. But my point is, he is – when you layer the college tape on top of those, not just like a quarter or
a throw.
But, a couple games in a row in the NFL that – if you're like, hey, you can have him or Derek Carr, him or Gardner Minshew, him or Daniel Jones, I'd say, even though Justin's floor might be lower, I'll take him because I think there's a possibility he could be really good at some point.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree with a lot of what you said. Like, I'm open to him.
Yes.
I still, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But other guys, like Zach Wilson, I'm sure.
Correct.
Trey Lance right now, I'm sure.
We're going to get to them later.
I'm just saying. So I think it's out there, like what Nick said, it's possible.
Yeah, it's on the board in a way. It's certainly on the board in a way it wasn't for Kenny Pickett for me.
Yes,
agreed. Speaking of stretches of decent games, the Prince started the season 8-3.
I really want to punch you on.
Projections had the Jags at 98% chance to make the playoffs. Prince found a way to miss it.
He got hurt. He's the only player in the league.
98%.
How many games did he play?
He missed.
1-5 down the stretch, and the Texans stole the division. Lawrence's last two seasons. A little bit of good, a little bit of bad.
Wow.
What do you want me to do?
No, but
he's bad, then he gets good. Then he stays good, and then he's bad.
He was hurt.
He's up and down.
He played. Ask the question.
If you're on the field.
That's fine, but it's not like it happened randomly. We know what happened. But ask the question.
Does Trevor need to prove he's an elite quarterback this year?
Yes.
Elite.
Yes.
Okay.
It's, right, which is I'm fine with having honest conversation about Trevor Lawrence.
What was that honest about?
Those are facts, Nick.
I'm not talking to
two
funny
and six,
guy
seven
over
and
here.
Two.
I'm talking to you, Brew, because I think we're going to agree on
those were
on
facts.
This. I think elite quarterbacks in the league, there are 4 definites and 2 possibles.
Okay.
Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar are the definites.
Yes.
Stroud and Stafford are the possibles for 2 different age reasons. Stafford, because is he aging out of it? And Stroud, we've seen, not enough. But
so you don't have Herbert as a possible?
No. Those are the guys that I think are elite. Then I have a group of guys as could Herbert, Dak, Trevor, Jordan Love, Jared Goff, Jalen Hurts, Tua, who I'm out on, but I understand what the numbers are. And I'll include Kyler because pre-injury some people believed in it. As guys who, if they're awesome this year, can join the elite category but have not proven they're elite. I don't think anyone on that list has proven they're elite. And so the Prince is in that group where he has to do more to prove he's an elite quarterback.
Fair.
I would put Brock in that. Can he prove it? Group.
Okay.
That's a, I mean,
okay,
he
sure.
only
right,
got well, his Super Bowl.
Brock,
just
sure.
throw him in there.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Fine.
I'm with you. Yes, he does have to prove it because everything you said, I mean, they added Gabe Davis. I'm not saying Davis
lost Calvin Ridley and added Gabe Davis. They got worse.
Well, now, I don't know. I mean, Gabe.
You think Gabe's as good
as
Calvin Ridley?
No, I think Calvin Ridley's better, but yeah. Gabe is good. And Christian, bottom line is they got a good receiving group. Christian Kirk, not awesome, but pretty good, talented. You know, Kirk and Zay Jones and all, they're pretty good. They don't really have a true number one, I'll give you that.
Yeah, that hurts.
But then you got ATN in the backfield. So yeah. I think they got enough skill position players. We know you have a good quarterback coach with Doug Peterson, a head coach that knows quarterbacks, Doug Peterson. But here, I'm a little confused because I just hear across the table always ripping one guy. And when I look at Trevor Lawrence's best numbers, these are the best numbers of his career. That's actually combining the last 2 years.
Okay.
Best shooting percentage or completion percentage, yards per pass.
And
you
on
see
the right is Russell
is
Wilson.
Is that who it is?
On the right is Russell Wilson.
So No, it's not just Russell Wilson. It's Russell Wilson last year in a diminished state,
right.
And you said he's washed, and that's better than the career best of Trevor Lawrence.
I don't know why, Brew, you insist on doing this yourself, because now I'm just going to ask you a very direct question. Who's better, Trevor Lawrence or Russell Wilson?
We'll see.
Oh,
you
see
this
year. You think it is on the board.
I just showed you Trevor's best season has not matched Russell Wilson's second worst.
So you do think Russell was good last year?
I don't think he was quite as good as those numbers.
But those numbers
are
what you showed us.
Look, numbers are numbers. I mean, there is some truth to some numbers.
So you think Sean Payton made a mistake?
I'm glad Russ is with Pittsburgh. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
I do think Sean Payton. So what's the answer? Where are they going now?
So you think Sean Payton made a mistake?
Yeah, I think he should have
stuck with Russ.
He wasn't that bad. I mean, we saw the numbers.
Okay. I did.
So I'm just saying that Trevor does have to prove it. And I just used that example.
I thought it was good. Stay in Jacksonville, where Trevor's backup was once a promising Pro Bowler who led his team to the playoffs in his rookie year. His career... Rookie year, 10-7, pretty good. Since then, he had a defensive coordinator for an offensive coordinator, and then Bill O'Brien, and they just fell apart. Do we think Mac is a career backup now?
I don't think there's any question about it. Here's what he has working against him. Like, compared to the Justin Fields conversation, right? Justin Fields was considered more upside, lower floor, but more upside coming out of school. Justin, as I showed you, has had multiple, I know I showed you 3-game stretches, but Justin has had multiple 2-game stretches with 8 touchdowns or more. I looked it up today. Mac never had an 8 touchdowns total in 4 games. He never had a month of great football.
Rookie year, we won seven games in a row.
Okay. And I'm just telling you, we can go through the game log together. Oh. You're not going to find great game, Matt. Great game, Matt. Great. You're just not going to find it. And so I think then you add to it, he doesn't seem liked in the Patriots locker room. And this is the part, Wilds, I want to get your opinion. And B, what do they call you, Wilds?
The Mayor of Fair.
Exactly. So remember that here.
Of course.
Does he present himself franchise starting quarterbacky?
Why? Because his mom picked him up from practice
the other day? For all the reasons that you've coyly pointed out on the air, do you think he presents himself as a franchise quarterback?
I think that in his heart, I'll say this, everyone should be true to who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I think he's a bit of a jerk. I think it comes out in the game. Twisting people's ankles, trying to spike guys, telling Matt Patricia to go away. And then I think on the podium, he tries to dress it up. I don't think that's the answer. Much like the key to unlocking my own career, I'm going to go to camera three here. Just be the bad boy. Alabama Mac. Just be the bad boy. Don't go, oh, I'm trying my best. Nah, man, be the bad boy.
Look, I think he will get another chance to start.
Yes.
I think I talked about it last week. Marcus Mariota got a chance. Sam Darnold's gotten second chances. You know, guys get second chances.
Those guys
chances.
Were top three picks, though.
Yeah, I but feel he like still was a first-round pick. He did make a Pro Bowl. Trubisky, I know he was a top-three
pick,
too.
Do you think Pickett will get another chance to start? Because I don't. I
think Pickett was backup. Worse than Mac Jones.
Sure, but I'm saying that I just feel like you get more rope.
And Pickett was old when he came out, too, of college.
Sure.
You know, so here's what I say. I'm saying Mac's going to sit behind Trevor Lawrence this year, learn from Doug Peterson, learn from Trevor, and then I think next offseason some team will bring him in, not give him the job, but say you can fight for it. You can battle for the – we have okay. a quarterback competition.
And he'll lose it and be
he might lose
backup.
It. He might lose it, but he'll get the shot.
You never know. Speaking of, Mac and Justin Fields both traded for a six-round pick. Zach Wilson and the Jets still looking for a dance partner. We might be headed towards a straight cut, lowest passer rating, last 10 years. It's Zach, Brock Osweiler, and former Jet Sam Darnold. So where, if anywhere, Nick, do you want to see Zach end up?
Kansas City.
Oh!
For a sixth. And the sixth is coming from the Jets. The Jets have to include a pick.
Okay.
Because in order, because if they cut him, they have to pay him the $5 million.
Right.
If someone, if they trade him, then they, so it's that, hey.
I like it.
We will save you the $5 million bucks. We want the 185th pick of the draft. And for the Chiefs, the argument is the whole, because they don't, the whole idea of what you were going to do last year under Aaron, you can do this year under Patrick. Sit back. No one thinks you're going to play. Have, you know, a quarterback boot camp under Andy Reid. And then maybe show enough in preseason or in week 18 when the Chiefs are resting their starters because they're, you know, 15-1, that you can show get enough to where you can reclaim your career. So I think if the Jets will include something, that's the one I would
say. I like that. I like that. I'm going to throw out something else. San Francisco. Why not go there and be just like they did with Sam Darnold? He'll back up Purdy. He'll learn from.
I don't want to put that type of heat
Kyle.
On Purdy.
No, I mean, he's not going to push Purdy more than Darnold. I mean, Darnold was a legitimate thought of,
yes.
Oh, maybe he'll. Yeah. You thought I think he would halfway through the season. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that either one of those would work.
But a place
him.
Where he's but not yeah, expected he can to play learn. And right. has an offensive minded coach and he has a chance.
Against the Chiefs, when Patrick Mahomes slid to kind of like seal the victory.
Yeah.
It was one of the best games maybe of his career.
Yeah, and he lost it with a mistake.
Yeah, he screwed up. We know he's going to be almost cut. But passer rating of 105 against one of the best defenses in the league. I thought it was something.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if he didn't fumble, maybe they would have lost. Finally, Trey Lance, still in the Cowboys. Josh pulled up this graphic, 420 pass attempts since high school. To put that in context, Dak had 590 this year. So, Nick, do you think the best is yet to come from Trey?
Well, it has to be.
Well, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think that the initial question was, like, I think that we were going to do, like, do you still believe in Trey? And I think my belief in Trey has been overstated in this regard. I picked the Niners to make the Super Bowl the year he was going to start because I thought they could make the Super Bowl with anybody at quarterback and classic two because did you see him in the Super Bowl this year? And so, maybe Trey would have been. I don't know.
No,
but
I
my
know.
Point is, I think his being, I've never seen a player written off by the media with fewer pass attempts than Trey. Like, if you thought, if people, nobody was scouting North Dakota State that hard. So it is, he was a 1AA quarterback, whatever it's called, FCS quarterback,
right.
who came into the league and barely played and got his leg broken. So I don't, he doesn't have a large sample of failure. He also has no sample of success. So yeah, I mean, he's to me just like a quarterback coming out of the draft this year almost. Like, I don't know, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look. He completed 48% of his passes the two games he started. I know one was in a storm and all that, but he did have a small sample size. But Brock Purdy in that small, when he had a small sample size, came right in and played well. I think the word has gotten out, whatever that is, you know, obviously teams talk and scouts talk. Yeah, that Shanahan, like Shanahan had every reason to give him every single shot.
That's right.
That was his guy. I mean, maybe it was Lutch's guy, but they did draft him. Well, I get it, but they drafted him and gave up all that capital to get him.
Yep.
So they, as an organization, they had every reason to make it work, and they gave up on him. That sends a message to other teams.
It's almost like the opposite of like McVay believing in Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Oh my
like once
God.
You co-sign,
I mean, it's just a fact.
It spreads. Welcome back to the show. Battle of the bad losses. No Giannis. And the Bucks downed the Suns 140-129. KD had 11. Dame had 31. Meanwhile, your Clippers, Brew, were playing the Hawks without Trae Young. They were down by 29 points in the fourth and have lost four of their last five games. So which was worse?
Well, there's a damning quote by Paul George.
It was on the screen there. Yeah, I don't think we have an identity.
Can we show it on the screen if we can?
Not good.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, we don't have an identity. First of all, with all these veterans, at this stage of the season, with a great head coach, how can you not have an identity? And so, and George, look, a lot of times George, he's just brutally honest. Mm-hmm. And he'll make quotes over the years where he really tells
you
what's going on with the team. But, yeah, right. I obviously picked the Clippers to get to the conference finals and lose to Denver.
Yeah, and then they I'm not changing my pick. They were struggling a little before that, but
I'm not giving up on them. But it's been a bad stretch. I think this loss was worse. You said that Trae Young wasn't even there. I mean, Giannis is one thing. Trae Young, you know, wasn't there with them. And they had all of their guys. And James Harden, all of a sudden, he has gotten worse statistically, at least, by the month. And it's kind of like as the playoffs approach.
Yes. But well, I've got a theory as well. What's changed in the NBA the last 2 months? They stopped calling all those jabroni fouls.
Oh.
The Haberstroh, or was it? It might have been Ethan Strauss. I'm not sure. Somebody just had a tweet during the show. The average, you know, over-under for an NBA game in January was 233. Tonight, the average is 218.
Wow.
A 15-point drop in 2 months because they've changed how they're officiating. Mm. Who's that going to hurt the most? James Harden. Plus his regular post-All-Star break swoon. Plus they miss Russ's energy.
Yeah. Well,
games where they're going to be tired. Right.
And Russell helped. Like, they do miss his energy.
No, listen, I am shocked by how much Vegas once again loves the Clippers. They have the second best odds to win the West, and it's close with Denver.
Yeah.
They have the third best odds to win the title.
They were playing great earlier in the year.
Yeah,
but
the Vegas odds are not for them to be great in January. I might have bet that too. This team is so I think the Clippers are just going to confirm that anybody that makes the Western Conference playoffs can beat them in a series. Anybody. I'm going to actually say the Suns' loss is worse because I maybe foolishly thought the Suns were better than they are. Like, man, and I know Durant had a bad game, and Durant has been their best player, and Durant's been unbelievable. I was talking with Brew before the show if he could steal Tatum's first-team All-NBA spot from him. Brew doesn't think so, but I think Durant's been playing at that level. But Durant's 11 points, and why they lost, because they still scored 129.
Right.
The Suns, letting Milwaukee score 140 without Giannis is a flashing red emergency light when you are fighting for seeding and this close to the postseason. And so I think it's a worse loss for the Suns, but a part of that is because I flatly don't believe in the Clippers. And again, I understand I'm biased. I've also been right about the Clippers every year they've been a team.
I don't believe much in the Suns, and I'm going to – now this is not a good sign because they are fighting for playoff position and they're a veteran team. But I chalk that up as a fatigue loss.
If they were to play –
it was the end of an East Coast road trip. You know, they took them lightly, clearly. No Giannis – and then they just get caught out there and get beat.
Clippers have had several bad losses since All-Star. They lost. Remember, LeBron went crazy. They blew a 20-point lead.
That was just LeBron
being awesome. Or you can say the Clippers blew it. They've had a few funky games. Yeah. What would it take for you to see from the Clippers in these next few weeks for you to say, you know what, I'd officially like to apologize and change my
pick? I'm not changing the pick because I think they'll get it together. They have a great coach, all right? And I think with those veterans and Russ's energy off the bench, that's big for them. They don't really have a leader among their players, in my view. All right, and I think Russ is as close to that as they have. And Russ is somewhat of a leader, but they need his energy. So,
if this is a round one matchup,
that'll be fine.
I like the Suns a lot. Yeah. Suns, Clippers. I know they weren't playing each other yesterday, but.
Coming up next, Jimmy G.
Okay.
Also check out our YouTube channel. We are creeping up. Honestly, not as many subscribers as I want, but our views are rolling.
Okay, good.
Medals time, so thank you. If you're watching or listening, Denver and Dallas, Kyrie for the game. It's frozen, but trust
me. Here
we
go.
It was awesome.
Here it is.
24 points in the game for Kyrie, including the return of the hook shot, which is probably going to be repopularized in the NBA now.
I would doubt that, but it was in one of the coolest game winners. Probably the coolest all year, one of the coolest in years. Bronze, LeBron, 48-9. And an interminable delay that ruined the end of the game and might, you know, change the course of this NBA season. Who knows? I'm just saying it was probably stolen from the Lakers. File an appeal. Silver medal, bruise guy, Wimby, 33-15, 7-7. Hakeem Olajuwon trembling as we speak. It's his spot.
You know.
Hakeem's the greatest international player ever.
Yes.
He's got a couple guys. He's got three guys coming for him now. Jokic, Giannis, and Wimby. Gold. True. Dame time, 31-5 and 16 assists as he led, without question, the Bucks to a win over the Suns with no Giannis. There's the podium from a weekend of tremendous NBA performances.
Okay, now to the story of the day. Who believes in Jimmy G? Well, Brew, obviously, and as it turns out, Sean McVay. He knows a thing or two about the quarterback position.
I think so.
A one-year deal to back up Stafford. Brew. Do you like this for Jimmy G and the Rams? And have you been proven right yet again?
I do like it for the Rams. He's a great backup for Matt Stafford. Stafford's going to be the man. You got a veteran backup, right, who's not – and we know about Jimmy G. He don't mind being the backup,
yeah.
Right? He's a good locker room guy. There's not going to be any, you know, pressure. So I like that. And, yes, I've been proven right.
About
Sean
what?
McVay – That Jimmy G was a good quarterback. Now, his body's betrayed.
Bro.
We all understand that.
Sean Mannion, Blake Bortles, Brett Rippen,
Baker
John
Mayfield.
Wolford, Carson Wentz, Bryce Perkins, and Baker Mayfield. That's eight backups for McVay in Los Angeles. One is good, Baker. The other seven, the idea that Sean McVay.
The two healthy seasons that Jimmy G's had in his career. Where'd they go? The Super Bowl and the NFC Championship.
Sean McVay knew to get off Jared Goff. He's like, you know, he doesn't have it. And he brings in Jimmy G.
Do we have that graphic, Dusty?
He's not on it anymore.
Just to show he used to be on it.